The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Hey, remember we had the couple on that was the baseball player, the A's minor leaguer, and his wife who was the a softball player?
What about it?
Remember we had them on?
Yeah, I remember.
And she took him deep.
Yeah.
She got a great swing. And did she play for the Scrapyard Dogs?
Yes.
So did you see what happened? Kat Osterman, who was a famous University of Texas pitcher, Kat Osterman is from our area. And she's she's one of the all-time great pitchers of fast-pitch softball. Apparently, so the Scrapyard fast-pitch softball team tweeted to Donald Trump, "Hey, at Donald Trump, pro fast pitch being played live at whatever park, USSA Pride, everyone respecting the flag." And there's a picture of the team all standing with their hands over their hearts during the national anthem. Well, probably shouldn't have done that. Well, for sure they shouldn't have done that, because they have some African-Americans on the team and Kat Osterman on the team, but not anymore. Because Kat says, "I ain't playing for you no more. This is not what we're about." Kat Osterman said, I gotta find it. I lost it. Yeah, here it is. She says, "I do not support the comments made during our game by Scrapyard Fast Pitch, and I will not represent them. We as a people are working towards change, and this is not it," in capital letters. So if you're a team, don't tweet Donald Trump. Here's a little lesson for you. If you're a team, do not tweet Donald Trump and say, "We're behind you," because that will get your players very, very upset. And there's some African-Americans that say, "I am hurt. I'm disgusted as a black softball player. I do not stand with a statement like this. If you didn't understand racism and what's going on last month, this is it. This is exactly what we've been trying to change."
I mean, they were just, they could have been standing up and not thought anything of it. And then when you turn it into a political by tweeting the president and tagging him and, making it political, then all of a sudden you put everyone else in potential quote-unquote harm's way. Because that's really the case here. I mean, you're getting put in harm's way, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. I think what we've seen, and for the most part, I pretty much can guarantee you that young women athletes are going to tend to be liberal. I think if we learn anything from our soccer team, from our world great soccer team, we have learned that they're not going to stand behind Donald Trump for the most part.
At least the ones who've made themselves vocal, who knows what the player who doesn't talk thinks. But to your point, like Megan Rapinoe obviously comes to the forefront in that regard. And it is weird. You would imagine you would just want to stay out of this. Why would you want to become, as a team, particularly a team that doesn't have a lot of, I guess you do it for notoriety, but wouldn't you just want to just go along to get along at this point? Why would you want to inject yourself in this?
Exactly. It doesn't pass the common sense smell test. You would think, unless you think it's going to, based on where you are, it's going to really take off for you and help you. Exactly, like you said, if you all stand for the national anthem, fine. No one said you have to kneel for every national anthem. Do what you do. But then to take it and tag it and tweet it and do it, then you turn it into a thing.
Now you've got one of the all-time legends of the sport going, "Nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good with you guys. I'll go do something else."
Yep.
Right. that's just not a great move by – I wonder if Scrapyard is even going to be able to field a team here now, because with Kat Osterman leaving, I'm sure that the African American young ladies that are on that team might be going as well. Did you guys happen to see Clay Travis put out a picture?
And he by the way, we haven't mentioned this. Did you see the scrap he got into with Mike Florio over the weekend?
Yeah. Well, a few people got into scraps. So Mike Florio, you know, holier than thou, and somebody called him out and said, okay, Mike. Jason Whitlock, how many African-Americans have you hired? How many you got on your staff there, Mike? And, that's right. And Florio said, to his defense, he said, I offered you a job, but you obviously said you were too expensive for me. I offered you a job, though. Well, but he's apparently doesn't have many or any African-Americans. What was the other scrap he had?
With Clay Travis.
Travis was like basically pointing out what Whitlock said, and then it turned into those two guys talking about ratings and TV shows.
And number of followers and things of that nature.
How many followers do you have? How many likes? You only get 100 likes when you're like, what about my retweets? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, Clay Travis went after Florio saying he covers the most popular sport, and yet no one likes him. And then Florio was like, well, have you seen how many followers I have compared to you? Let's just be clear. And the traffic that comes to my website as compared to yours, so what are you talking about? They were trying to whip it out and just prove who's the most popular. Speaking of hiring practices, Florio, I guess, caught some from Whitlock. Bill Simmons is catching it too.
Yeah.
If you don't know, Bill Simmons, who obviously used to write for ESPN, Grantland stuff, used to appear on their stuff, now has his own networks, The Ringer. They write, they do podcasts. He got a big deal with Spotify. There's a New York Times article, and they were discussing the lack of diversity at The Ringer because right after the George Floyd stuff hit, he brought on Ryan Russillo to discuss it, and people were like, why is the dude from Massachusetts or the New England area, white dude from New England, talking about this? That's the best guy you could have on. So they had to apologize for the podcast. And then as he's doing the whole kind of apology, explaining what The Ringer is going to do to bring more diversity, in the New York Times article, he goes, well, we try to have our most popular podcasters on things. It's not an open mic type of deal. It's a business. And people are like, excuse me. doesn't your daughter have a podcast? Your like 14-year-old daughter? Doesn't she do like a podcast a month? And then a couple of his friends do podcasts who don't have any broadcasting experience. So people are like, if it's not open mic night, why are your friends and your daughter doing a podcast? So now he's catching it too. Everyone's catching it.
Right. You best not bring it if you got any skeletons back there. Okay.
Really?
Best keep your mouth shut.
For Bill, it was.
Well, I don't think Simmons. it found him. I don't think he was saying anything. Russillo complimented him for his hiring practices and diversity.
And then the Ringer Union tweeted out like almost immediately. And that's when the Ringer Union, like,
June 1st, yeah.
Actually, if you look at the numbers, we're not that diverse. So it just didn't help his cause to have a white man from the New England area discussing George Floyd and the protest when you could have brought up. And since then, he's had more black voices on his particular podcast. It just was the wrong approach right after, and everything kind of jumped off.
The open mic thing is probably what kind of sounded dismissive, but this article says he started The Ringer with an all-white editorial team. Some current and former employees said he had consistently sought to hire black writers. Quote, I was one of the people Bill gave a chance to, said K. Austin Collins, a black film critic who left The Ringer for Vanity Fair in 18. I was grateful for that chance. Collins added that the lack of diversity at the company had played a role in his departure. I've been expressing sadness over this. I felt let down. You know, guy who has lived in Shea Serrano, who is Hispanic, I think he lives in San Antonio now. I know he's originally from San Antonio, lived in Houston. I don't know if he's here or back in San Antonio. But he was a guy who left, I say Bill Simmons found him. He didn't find him. People in Houston knew how talented he was. I knew a long time ago. But once Bill Simmons got a taste of his creativeness, he leapt quick at hiring him. I think it was before he hired him at Page 2 or whatever it was called. I can't remember what it became. Page 2, but ESPN had a different name. I can't remember the name for it.
Grantland?
Grantland, yeah. So he went to Grantland, and then he went over to the Ringer with Bill Simmons.
Yeah, he does podcasts.
He's still there, yeah.
He does podcasts with Bill. I believe he writes for him as well. It's just, I think a lot of people are questioning, you cover the NFL. You don't have I think they just hired a full-time NFL writer who is African-American on their podcast, which is gets the most attention. There's not a full-time black voice covering basketball or football. So, I mean, he says he's working towards that, but when your own union's like, you're not doing a great job. So it's coming from within. The call's from in the House bill. I guess he's going to have to figure it out because people are coming after him too, like they're coming after everyone.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody's safe except me. I'm good.
Good. Your Honor. Move to strike.
1016 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Dell here with you. Lance beating it. So Gilbert is on the line. Let's see what Gilbert is up. We haven't talked to Gilbert in a while. Wonder where he's been. Hey, Gilbert, what you doing?
Been out of the hospital, in and out.
You were been in and out of the hospital?
Yeah.
What happened?
Fever.
You had a fever? Did you test positive? Do you have the coronavirus?
No, I don't know. Some kind of fever I got anyway, you know. I saw Wendy on TV last night anyway.
I know, you did, huh? Did you see
Yeah,
you like that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, talk about her daughter being good, get the virus anyway, you know.
Yeah. You saw that, Gina?
No, Johnson. I don't care about baseball no more. You know, I don't care about football.
No?
Just care about myself anyway now, you know.
You pretty much
this
just
last
care about
day
yourself.
On earth for Gilbert Lou anyway, you know.
Just what?
Last day for me anyway, you know.
What, today's your last day?
I don't know.
Oh. Sounds like
you
you're
okay?
Down again. Yeah, it sounds like you're down again, Gilbert.
Yep. Well, I mean, yeah.
You sound depressed because you've been.
Yeah.
You had a fever?
Not really.
No, I didn't think so.
All right, talk to you later then, okay?
Okay, bye.
So he was in the hospital off and on for a fever, but not really?
Not really. No, he just made that up.
Surprising. Actually, I felt even Gilbert in this time would come with more honesty.
No,
I didn't actually.
No, Gilbert's not bringing more honesty to the show.
No, we have another call. It's from an Amy, and she wants to talk with the Cowboys. So
is this Eric?
Well, I didn't take the call.
It's an Eric Wong call. Okay,
we can guess that it is one.
Yeah, let's get Amy in here. Hey, Amy.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Well, really, I need some advice. So, I am dating this guy. He's Mexican-American, really hot. We have great times together. We're huge Cowboys fans together. But all he wants me to make is tacos. Tacos. That's all he wants to eat is tacos. And I can cook more than just tacos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this... Do you think this is how all Mexican, American, Dallas Cowboys fans are?
No. I don't think they relegate their women to just making tacos for them.
No.
I think this is unique
to
your...
No, that's not how Mexican-American cowboy fans are.
No, I think
they just want tacos.
It's unique to the person you're with. What's his name?
Mm-hmm. Enrique.
Enrique.
Does he like...
Which is long for Eric.
Apparently. Does he like... Does he like only one type of taco, or can you have variety in the type of tacos you make?
Mm, not much variety, no.
So what's the taco plan for the night?
I'm not sure yet, but I'm just tired of making tacos.
Huh. You are.
So let me ask
you this question, because I think Dell has a theory about Enrique bringing some weak D to the table. What's your thought on that?
What?
Is Enrique someone who satisfies you is what we're asking. Because if he's lacking in the top in the food game,
yes.
He is.
Yes, he lacks in the he lacks in the bedroom too?
No.
So okay. do you think it's weird that Enrique asked you to call quite a bit with different names and talk about the Cowboys, but not really talk about the Cowboys? I feel like he's trying to entertain you because he can't do it in the bedroom. Like, he's trying to keep you attracted to him and maybe even, I don't know, entertain. What does Enrique do when you're not talking about the Cowboys or eating tacos?
We just have fun together.
Art
wants to know, do you like chorizo tacos?
Of course.
You do? Okay.
Do you like?
Yes.
Do you like does Enrique like queso? We're getting questions from our listeners.
Quesadillas and flautas?
Does he like that?
Quesadillas and flautas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mostly just tacos.
So just it's tacos. Always tacos, but you can't tell me what you're making tonight as far as tacos are concerned?
Well, tacos.
But what's going to go probably, in the tacos? Yeah.
Probably some carne asada.
Okay.
All right. Amy.
Maybe just like the white taco.
He likes white people tacos.
White people tacos.
Like white people tacos with ground meat.
Oh yeah, hamburger meat. Yeah.
So Enrique, a Mexican American who only likes tacos, but he only likes white people tacos.
Hmm. No, that's not what I said.
I feel like that's kind of
what you said.
It's what you said.
Yeah.
Amy.
It's just my dilemma is, though, guys, is that he's great in the sack.
Okay.
But I'm tired of making the tacos.
Well, make something else for him. How difficult is this?
Yeah. Just make something else.
That's all he wants to eat. That's all he wants.
Well, you know what, Amy. If Enrique likes you and likes, you know, that thing you guys do in the bedroom, he will eat what you make. What's he going to say? No?
Yeah. Make him a tuna taco.
All right, we're done.
Dale, do you like tacos, Dale?
It's not the only thing I like, but sure, I like tacos. I don't like tuna tacos like John just said.
You like chorizo?
What did you say, Amy?
Amy, what are you saying, Eric, Enrique, Amy? What questions are you asking, Eric, Amy?
Yeah, are you looking, Amy? Are you asking your own questions, or someone sitting
next
to you
writing these questions for you?
No, nobody's writing me questions.
Oh, okay.
So you're Enrique fella.
Ask Del if he likes chorizo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Del, if he likes chorizo tacos. I like all forms of tacos pretty much. Mm-hmm. Unlike Enrique, he only likes white people tacos, like you just said.
Yeah, right.
That's not what I said.
That's
words in my
what
mouth.
You said, Amy.
Something about in your mouth. Amy,
why are you saying my name like that?
What you doing with that mouth?
Though, because we don't believe your name is Amy.
Why not?
Because you've called before with a different name.
Yeah, you've called several times with different names.
Maybe Enrique should tell you to change your voice because you call in multiple times with the same voice. Can you do a different voice, Amy?
Yeah. Listen, just tell Eric to strengthen up that D. That's it.
Yeah, because the only way he can keep you interested is by having you call radio shows, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, weak D, Eric.
Oh.
Bye, Amy.
Bye, Amy. Goodbye, Amy.
Unbelievable.
That's it. Amy.
But these are the calls we've had today, John. Gilbert and Amy. And Dr. Fauci on a mobile. Those are the calls.
Those are the calls we have. So let's take a break. It's 1028 ESPN. How are we going to How are we going to follow Amy?
I just cleanse the palate with the break.
If that is, in fact, your name.
I think her name was like Jennifer a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. Another segment. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Baseball news, looks like we could have a season. We'll see. Basketball, we're going to have a season. I think Major League players are going to probably reject the Major League's safety protocols, but we'll see. I think they just want their $1 billion. They just want to sue. That's all they did. They've refused everything just so they could have the ability to sue the owners for $1 billion. That's baseball. Baseball, keep doing you. Don't ever stop doing you. But we've got basketball. Looks like it is going to happen. And we've got a couple of players that have said that they are going to be sitting out, and there's a little pushback on it. Hey, if guys don't want to play, although, you know, Dell, there is something to, you know, be there for your guys. Be there for your teammates. And Davis Bertans is saying, I'm not doing it. I'm not playing. He's had two knee problems, and he's got a big contract coming his way. But this, if I'm a team and I see that he doesn't want to play, it could affect how much I want him. It could affect how much guys in that locker room want him.
Yeah, I wonder what we'll hear from Davis Bertans, because the initial reaction is he's doing it because he's afraid of an injury and he doesn't want to jeopardize what could be a really big deal coming his way in free agency for a team he might not even be a part of after, I don't know, 8 games or so, because the Wizards have an uphill climb to make the playoffs. But maybe he's a guy who has an underlying condition we don't know about. Maybe he has family who he's trying to protect. Who knows? He just happens to be a free agent, so people go to, oh, he's just looking for money. But in these situations, I don't know how a team's going to really look at it. Because if you're a team who needs a stretch four, big-time shooter, are you going to care that Davis Bertans didn't want to play 8 games with the Wizards in a weird year? I don't think so. Not if you're a team who thinks he's a big piece to your puzzle. Like if the Rockets had the money, and if Davis Bertans was available and he wanted to come, you think Daryl Morey's going to care he didn't want to play for the Wizards?
No. Hey, listen, the dude can shoot. I'll take him.
Yeah, his skill set's going to trump any concerns people might have, particularly with this scenario. If this was a normal playoff run and he was like, and the Wizards were really going for it, and he decided, no, I'm going to sit out, I think people would take issue, but not in Corona times.
No.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think dude is going to be just fine.
And you notice the only person who said, it's been one guy who said something, is Evan Fournier. He's the only one who has kind of clapped back at this report. By the way, Bertans hadn't said a word. The sources are, and they're certainly probably going to be correct, that he's not going to play, but I don't know if Bertans will even address this, so... One player has said, what are you doing? And it's Fournier. So I think that might go – that might be kind of what the rest of the NBA feels like. If you want to sit out, go ahead and sit out, man.
Yeah. No, you know what? Listen, he's got his option. But those guys in that locker room, those Wizards in that locker room –
yeah, the current Wizards might have a problem, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, dude. Whatever. That's fine. Just go ahead. You go get your career, bro. Go get your bag. But don't worry about us over here trying to make the playoffs. That's not good. That's no good.
No.
That's no good. I would give him a sideways glance too.
If he's on your team, I feel that. I wouldn't have an issue with any player on his own team saying, what are you doing?
I got a question for you. Are you a little worried about your boy? Can you get your boy
Who's my boy?
Tua.
What is he doing?
He's sitting on Shania Twain.
Shania Twain hit on him first.
No, he hit on Shania Twain first.
He tweeted something. She quote tweeted him, and then he responded like a real player does.
He tweeted something. Oh no, he was being asked questions, and they asked a guilty pleasure, and he said Shania Twain. And if you're watching this, Shania Twain, come get your boy.
Mm.
And Shania answered him, and now who knows what can happen?
Yeah, why here's what happened. Tua for this. He should be doing these things.
You're still the one at Shania Twain. And here's the deal. Is Shania answered him. Shania, if you watch this from this moment on, please message me back, he said. And she got worried and she said, guilty pleasure. You should be proud of your good taste. And now, who knows? They could be doing stuff.
Or maybe they may. Yeah. It was initially a tweet from the Miami Dolphins, their account. They're asking him some questions. And part of that questioning was about pineapples on a pizza. And he got to Shania Twain, and I guess that's, he said guilty pleasure. And she said, guilty pleasure, you should be proud of your good taste. So she hit on him first. He didn't know that it was going to get to Shania Twain. He was just talking about what music he likes that people might clown him on. And she shot her shot first.
No, he said, Shania, if you watch this from this moment on, please message me back.
He hit
on her first.
She reached out because she liked what she heard.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Because he hit on her first. And, oh, by the way, well, back in the day now, Shania Twain could go, okay? Shania Twain was strong, no question. But that's 25 years ago now. Tua, I'm pretty sure with your cake, you can find somebody a little younger.
What are you saying? What are you saying? That he can't appreciate Shania Twain even at this age?
No, I'm sure he can. I don't know. I haven't seen Shania Twain. I don't know what she looks like now. I'm just saying.
I don't know either, really.
I'm just saying she's 50-something. He's 20.
Doesn't matter.
22.
Doesn't matter. It's Shania Twain.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like you and Granny, for example.
Well, I wouldn't call that love. That's just
love. It kind of is.
No, it's lust. It's not love. I'll tell you that right now.
That's all it is?
Yeah, it's not a love thing. I mean, I roll over and get up and go back to my house. We don't hang around and talk. What are you talking about, John? You are misinterpreting the relationship between me and Granny. But if Tua loves Shania Twain and would love to meet her or, I don't know, go out on a date, whatever, I think she's still married to Tim McGraw, right? No, she's never been. That was Faith Hill. That's Faith Hill.
That's Faith Hill. Right.
I don't. I think
Shania Twain.
She's married to some Frenchman.
Oh.
Yeah. Some French Canadian. I don't know.
Is she still married to him? Because she's looking for some young stuff right now.
Your Honor, silence the witness. Well, he's from Switzerland, so he has a French name, but he's at least to me he does. But he's
same
from
thing.
Swiss. I think she's still married to the gentleman. So I don't think Tua really has a much of a shot. He's got a better shot of starting for the Dolphins Week 1 than he does of getting a date with Shania Twain.
Okay, who would you rather go to war with, France or Switzerland?
Well, one of them stays out of every fight. The other one generally. Well, at least recent history, recent loses all the fights.
Well, they just give up. They don't even try to fight.
I think I would. I would stick with the. France had a history of winning wars, so maybe they can get back to it. I'll stick with France. I know you, but you have an irrational distaste for France.
No, it's not irrational. I've been there, and they're rude, and they hate Americans.
Well, you're rude.
Stupid. I'm not rude.
Oh, yes, you are.
Like, hey. Hey, you, Garson, whatever your name is, over here.
It's Garson. And that's not my name, sir.
Yeah.
That was the dude from Beauty and the Beast. Or no, that's Gaston. Excuse me. You're rude, too.
No.
I would think you two would fit right in with each other, Frenchman and you.
I'm not. There's nothing rude about me. Nothing.
Have you met you?
Yes. Tua and Shania, almost like an episode of Ozark. Oh, it kind of is.
Although
she's got to be, she's a lot hotter than, what's her name?
I forgot her name. Tua's older than the guy in the show, the character
right,
he's playing.
He was supposed to go to college.
Yeah,
right.
Shania is younger than that woman. I forget her name. I just know she's a badass.
Yeah. What is her name? Gosh.
And she's such a prominent – she's going to have even a more prominent role in season four, too.
Well, yeah, because now she hired Ruth.
Yeah, so we're going to see a lot more of her. Her name
Ruth,
is
– she and Ruth getting together?
What's her name? I can't find her anywhere. Darlene.
Darlene, that's right. Garcon means boy. Oh, I thought that was waiter. Well, no wonder. No wonder he wasn't – he didn't like me too much.
Yeah, hey. You were being rude.
No. And not if it's unintentional.
Actually, no, I just looked it up. Garcon means waiter.
Ha-ha.
It means boy, too, I guess.
It does?
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Frodo. I was correct. Hey, Garcon. Yeah, Garcon has always been waiter.
Did you snap your fingers, too?
I said, over here. Hey, Garcon.
Yeah, that.
And I don't mean waiter. I said, Garcon, and I don't mean waiter.
American waiters don't like when you snap your fingers. You think the French would?
Don't care what they like.
Well.
Listen, get the cigarette out of your mouth and give me some service over here.
Yeah, I wonder why they had a problem with you.
Yeah. No. Jerks. A-holes is what they are. 713-780-37. No, we're done because we got News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Oh, this is kind of funny. I don't know if you happen to see it, but a priceless 17th century painting of the Virgin Mary apparently... it had been somehow damaged, this painting, a private art collector. Apparently, it had been damaged, and they took it to a furniture store repairman, a restorer. And Bartolome Esteban Murillo's picture of the Virgin Mary doesn't really look like it's even close.
It looks like an 8-year-old decided, I'm going to draw a face.
Yeah.
That is awful.
Oh, my gosh. Who would go for a priceless painting? He was charged 1,200 euros by a furniture restorer to have the painting cleaned and repaired. Who would take it to a furniture restorer? You're too stupid to have all that money in that painting. You're just too stupid.
Someone trying to get something done on the cheap. This is a version of when you were talking about earlier. You go to get your windshield, but instead of like them actually putting a windshield in, they put in like 3 side view mirrors and said, "All right, move along." What is this?
Yeah. What the hell? It is. You're too stupid to own that.
That is
so. It's good that it's ruined now.
That's atrocious. It is awful.
So the president of the San Antonio Police Department is under a little heat. He said that that GD is as bad as using the N-word. Now, I will say this. I am not a fan. I am not a fan of GD. I don't like people. I always say gosh or whatever. I do not like taking the Lord's name in vain. But this is probably the wrong time to be equating GD and the N-word.
When people say GD, and it's a word I don't say, it's just based on being raised in a Christian household, just not something that was allowed, really. I'm trying to – people get offended clearly by it, but it isn't an attack on anyone like the N-word is. It is an exclamation – of wow or what the hell, stuff like that.
I get that,
but it's not an attack on a particular race or an individual. It is taking the Lord's name in vain, and some people take that more seriously than others. It's certainly offensive for people, but I don't see how you equate it to what the N-word means.
Right. Well, they're totally different. But as offensive, I could see religious people. I can see where religious people would have take offense to it.
Oh, I'm not doubting it. I mean, we can all grade what type of offense we take to certain things, but it's not the same thing. It is, you can be offended by two things and not have to use the N-word as, well, it's as bad as that.
Right. No, right. But if he's religious, though, that's his opinion. You know what?
It's not a question. I'm not saying he can't be offended, and hell, right. I get it. It's just a weird way to prove a point. Just say it's an offensive thing.
But comparing anything right now, stop.
Forget about right now. Just say you're offended by GD. Don't say, well, it's like the N-word.
Right.
It's not. Right. It's a different thing that offended you.
So apparently, if you're pleasuring yourself while you're at work now because you're working from home, you're not alone. Apparently, they say that up to 30% of people are doing that, enjoying themselves while they are working. Oh, no. 30% isn't. Oh, 30% is, this is the, this is it. 30% is the number of people who have broken quarantine for a booty call.
Well, I feel like that.
The number is higher of people pleasuring themselves at home while they're working.
Well,
which one are you more likely to do, Del?
Well,
pleasure yourself while you're working or breaking quarantine for a booty call?
It's B. I'm not pleasuring myself while working because I work in a public place. I'm not doing that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I work. I'm not at home like you are right now. I'm looking at Lance right now. I'm not pleasuring myself.
Yeah, I could see where no one would want to pleasure themselves looking at Lance. Pretty sure.
That's a joke. That's a shot you're taking. I'm just not going to do it. There's no security here. The door, I could lock the door, but even that would be weird. Why is Del locking the door? People can walk in at any time. No, don't pleasure yourself in a public place. You do that at home. I get it if you're on a Zoom call and it's just audio only and you're like, this is boring. Let me do something here to entertain myself. I just don't fit the profile.
So there's a New York City sex club that apparently is practicing social distancing during their orgies now. Do you think you want to be part of a social distancing orgy?
I like to know how that is actually being done. 6 feet, right? That's what they're using. So what are they doing? Are they just, you know, taking care of themselves while looking at each other do
it? Well, apparently they're only allowing a certain number of people in and the rest are filming. And they're selling $10 for members only and $25 for first timers.
So is it
to watch on camera?
So is it like some people think how stadiums will use it? If you come in with from someone from your home, you can sit next to each other. But if you are from different households, you can't. Is that what this is like? Like, hey, if you came with this person, then you guys can do stuff. And if, and not you have
I don't
to watch.
Know, but isn't you can't be near more than 10 people, so they can probably do all kinds of stuff, you know, with 10 people. And then but that's it. I think it's just a limited number of people.
Okay. The whole orgy thing seems way complicated, even outside of Corona times.
I'm not doing that.
It seems
I don't want all those people all of my stuff.
Yeah, and oof, never mind. I don't want to think about
I'm watching a video of a woman. Apparently, she was upset with a one-year-old in the stroller in San Jose, California. She was none too pleased with a one-year-old because the one-year-old didn't have a mask on. So she went up and coughed on the baby.
Can you tell me do you have a video of that?
Mm-hmm.
What is the person who did the coughing look like?
Karen.
Look, I only asked the question because I already knew the answer, even without seeing the video.
Older Karen. Karen's mom.
What was her point? To prove to the mom that the kid should wear a mask or to prove that the kid should have put a mask on himself?
The kid should have a mask on.
Yeah, but the kid's won. That's not the kid's decision. That's the parent's decision. So Are you are you saying, hey, kid, take responsibility for your actions?
Right.
Or is she punishing the parents?
Well, now they're looking for her, and she could be facing charges.
Yeah, as well she should.
As well she should.
I don't – look, I said it yesterday. We have failed each other with this thing. Even people who are think they're in the right because they're wearing a mask, and I am one of those people who believe you should wear one, you don't have the right to go cough in anyone's face just because they're not wearing one. What's the matter with you?
No. New York Police Commissioner said that the officers who drove into the protesters, they didn't violate use of force policy. Huh. It seems to me that driving into a group of people may be a little excessive force.
John,
I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. If let's say there was a march, it doesn't have to be a Black Lives Matter march. Let's just say there's a group of people in your way and they're not moving. Do you think if you hit the gas and ran through them, you would just what? Hey, you had to do what you had to do? You think that's how it would have gone for you?
That's not excessive. No. I think they would have said, oh, that's fine. Don't worry about that.
They would ask, who are you running over? Would they have asked? Well, depends on who you're running over, sir. Look, this is why.
What did they say?
Did they say something hurtful? So you used your 4,000-pound vehicle as a weapon?
Right.
This is why.
Did they hurt your feelings? Did they say the magic word?
This is why some people just don't mess with the police, man. Because even in an instance where it appears obvious that they screwed up, whatever. They did what they had to do. Oh, so the car driving into people, fine. In this case, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's fine. Don't worry about it. John Adams slams ABC Sydney radio show for discussion over whether chess is racist. Do you think chess, the game, is racist?
Do they have signs on it when you try to buy one at the store that this isn't for black people? Or why is chess racist?
Because the white pieces always go first.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They are
seeking comment from a chess official as to whether the rules of chess need to be altered.
What's the reason for the white pieces always going first? Now, since that's a thing.
Well, where was chess invented? Racist.
But why would a racist person who created chess even have black pieces? Since they're that racist.
I don't know. I don't know. Because black wins, right? And a racist wouldn't want black to win at all over white, right?
Yes. Look, there's...
Do you think that chess is racist?
I don't think so. I don't think a game can be racist. I don't think a game can be racist. It's just inanimate objects. Now, maybe the creator was racist. I don't know the history of chess. But the game itself can be played by anyone, and the game doesn't care how smart you are or what color you are. If you're good at it, your race, your intelligence will determine
white
that.
White goes first.
Yeah.
White goes first.
Look, there are a lot of things to be upset about, and trust me, I got triggers. Chess ain't one of them.
No.
We got a question, John.
It's a bunch of whiteys playing chess anyway.
El Frodo says, why not do a coin flip or Rochambeau? Look, if you want to change the rules of chess so it's like randomized who goes first, that's fine, but I don't feel strongly one way or the other about it. We got a question,
chess.
John. Is it for you? Someone called in but hung up and asked how many black people work at 97.5.
My partner right here. That's right.
Yes, me. I am that person.
Who hired you?
Well, you brought me back, certainly, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Hired you in the first place.
Yes, you've done it twice. But I don't know if that's enough. Probably isn't for some people, but me. And Nick, that's two. Nick is of...
Is he?
Nick's Egyptian.
He is?
Yes, Nick's Egyptian, so he's black. Sorry, Nick. Nick just walked in and started laughing. Sorry, Nick. I'm only throwing you in there because someone called and asked how many black people work here. Huh. It's me and Nick, as far as people you hear on air. We have AD, who is an engineer. I don't know if I'm going to say we reached a quota or anything.
Kind of a 80s questionable.
Oh, AJ says Booker T.
Booker T works there too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I believe Fred is your name. Maybe Fred Fowler asked the question.
Fred is iffy too, by the way. We're not sure about Fred.
Yeah, I've heard Fred talk about his heritage. I just don't remember what it is.
Yeah.
But
I'm dark meat too, by the way.
Yeah, that's not gonna help our cause. To Fred the caller, three people on air, and there are other people behind the scenes.
There you go. And that's it. The press box is next. No, those guys are white. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.